Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Candy, your single mama diva here, and I would like to welcome each and every one of you to our live broadcast. It's been a while since I've broadcast live with Blog Talk because of a lot of things that have been going on with scheduling. So I would like to welcome you to the series that I have set up, and it's for single moms, and it's going to address issues such as stress and dealing with certain other emotional issues. And my guest that I have here with me today is Mark Gibson. And because he does have a message to help people deal with stress, I felt that I needed to have him on. We've talked a bit a few times since we've met, and we've had some wonderful conversations. And I can say that hearing his perspective on relaxation and how we can apply it to our lives as single moms has really been interesting. Mark Gibson is a certified life coach, and his specialty is stress and relaxation. Mark also is an expert problem solver who stimulates motivated people to creatively move through their worries into a life full of personal rewards. Some of his goals is to help people attain work balance, work-life balance, and personal effectiveness. He also helps us get motivated, which is something that I used to struggle with a lot because I was waiting for some magical thing to happen before I would do something and realize that some things just need to be done, and sometimes motivation comes through just doing something and seeing the results. So we're going to sit and talk with Mark today, and without further ado, I'm going to give him a moment to explain some of the things that he does, because he is a very easy person to talk to, I must say. Mark, are you there?
I sure am, Candy. Thank you very much.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear you're on. We talked a few minutes ago about a little while ago before the call, and I kind of let you know some things that were going on before the show actually started. So I have the plumber downstairs, and so you may hear a little noise every now and then, and I had to be pushed out of my room that I normally do my show in. So I can say that there is an extra amount of stress dealing with this particular call tonight, which is very appropriate because the garage also went out. So we're looking at a couple of $100 here and there for that. So I'm looking forward to this show. This is actually a stress reliever just having the show. So welcome.
Thank you, Candy. Hey, I just wanted to check in with you right now since you are experiencing being pulled in several different directions all at once today. Do you practice any kind of breathing exercises?
I do, not as regularly as I should. I have actually gone into some of those exercises, and they do work. But I guess that's something else we need to talk about. How do you stay connected enough to even remember to do those things? You know how sometimes you lose something because you've put it up and you hid it from yourself?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
I think that's kind of how what happens whenever I discover a technique or something that works for me. Sometimes I tend to just forget about it.
Yes, that's right. And we all need these little self-prompters so that we know what we can do for ourselves right in the moment. And
right.
I was just thinking with the challenges that you have going on just today, thinking about the money and the time distractions and everything, that something that we all can do just right in the moment that only takes about 30 seconds to a minute is just sit down and get very peaceful and let the arms and the legs hang free or rest supported, and just go through some breathing exercises of about 10 or 15 very deep inhalations and exhalations with the eyes closed and trying to basically keep the mind blank. And I know, at least for me and other people who have done this, that when I'm feeling physically agitated, like you can feel your body chemistry getting a little off because you're getting stressed out, that is that one little short, even less than a minute breathing exercise, just is such a cleansing experience that when I open my eyes and come back from that, I go, oh. Now, it's just like somebody just took all the static electricity out of my body.
Right.
It's not the kind of thing where somebody else has to remind you or you need a special environment or all kinds of little tricks. It's just, as you can see, so simple, Candy, that anybody, including any of our listeners, can just think, you know, when you feel your mind started to get overloaded with stuff right in the moment, just sit down for a second or even lay down and be quiet and breathe deeply, slowly in and out for up to a minute, and then open your eyes again and you go, oh, well, it's like starting all over again. It's a really rejuvenating exercise, and you might have been able to use that today.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that helped because I was doing it as you were going through the instructions, and it did help.
Good.
Yeah, it did help. So how did you begin to get involved in this? What kind of pulled you into doing this type of work?
Well, it's funny you should mention that because my oldest daughter is 35 years old, and her mother ended up leaving with another man when she was 7 months old, so I didn't have much of a role of fathering my oldest daughter, you know, 34 years ago, but that tossed me into a lot of turmoil emotionally, and I bottomed out in the early 70s and said, I don't want to live here anymore. That mindset of discouragement and starting to abuse myself emotionally and with too much drinking and not enough work and income and all these compounding problems. And I just took the bull by the horns and said, I have got to do something. And I went on a self-help mission. And that would be, you know.
Evan, they're calling.
Yeah,
well,
no,
and
Ken, I got
to run
off here to Willoughby. Okay, I got a guy.
Well, maybe I'll just keep going here so our listeners can get in here. At any rate, I've been on a personal growth path for about 35 years, and people have described me as kind of a guru Mark, and eventually I decided that, you know, I really like this stuff. I like personal growth. I like exploring with it, sharing with other people, and facilitating and watching other people grow and improve their lives, and decided to make it official by becoming a life coach. But I honed in on stress relief and relaxation because actually for the most of my life, I've had a very relaxed life. I have 50 years experience of relaxation. It just comes natural to me.
Right.
Yeah, so I have an inclination to want to share this the tricks of my natural flow that lead me to lead a very relaxed and enjoyable life. And still stay employed and travel and all that kind of stuff. So I get a lot of self-satisfaction out of sharing, and that's my drive behind wanting to help out single moms because, coincidentally, my older daughter, who is 35 now, she has my 10-year-old grandson, and she's a single mom.
Yes, I remember talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was very interesting.
Yes.
That gave you that bird's eye view perspective of what single moms have to go through.
Yes.
Now, what is it that you think happens where some people are naturally relaxed and some people are naturally stressed? Because we do see this where some people will say something that's bothering them, and then someone else with another perspective will say, oh, that's really not that big of a deal.
Yes.
You know, I mean, you know, the way people see things can often make the huge difference between what is a big deal and what's not a big deal.
Yes. In fact, actually, I deal directly with that in the frequently asked questions section at my website at relaxyourlifenow.com. One of the questions I have in there is that why do people always seem to push my buttons? And the other question is, how come some people always seem to be relaxed? And
mm-hmm.
it's kind of like the two sides of the coin there. Why are some people very reactive and others very easygoing?
Mm-hmm.
And I think what ends up happening is that people who experience minimum stress in their lives generally have a very good handle on what their values are in their life, and they've set their goals up to be an offshoot of those values. So if somebody values a deep personal relationship, they're going to conduct their life where they can meet and become intimate with people and have deep friendships. If somebody values travel, they're going to set their life up so that they can travel. And if they value getting an education, then they'll set their life up for going to school. Or if they just want to be really productive in a job, they're going to set that up. I think people who experience a lot of stress are people who have conflict between what their values are and what the realities are that they're living.
That's a good point.
Now it does. Now this doesn't necessarily mean we aren't, let's say, victims. I don't really like to use the victims because we have stresses come upon us. I mean, if somebody has an automobile accident, then it's going to be a high-stress situation. So the question really then becomes, how does a stressful person deal with it differently from a stress-tolerant person who knows how to move through it? And that's why I frequently fall back on the Serenity Prayer.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure you're probably familiar with that.
Yeah.
You know, to me, that sets my mental attitude about how to deal with something. And just to repeat that, if God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference between the two.
Yeah.
And if something's happening and I can't change it, then the first question I would ask myself, and I'd recommend to any single mother, is why am I going to get all worked up over something I can't change?
Right.
Why not just accept it, let it go, and concentrate on those things that you can change and be solution-oriented?
Now, let's talk about the difference between males and females. I was talking to a friend of mine who's a pastor, and we got on this subject about men and women, and he was bringing up the fact of how, like I was saying, how it seems as though women don't really need examples as to how they want their family life to look like. Like a woman will see a picture in a book and say, I want that family, or I want my life to look just like that. And that will carry them throughout their whole life, no matter what happens. You'll ask them, well, how did you get this? Well, I saw a picture in the book when I was 10 years old, and I said I wanted 2.5 kids by the time I was 28, and I wanted to be married, and I wanted this, that, and the other. And he was saying how, and I was asking, you know, why do I keep hearing people say that males need an example? And he was saying, well, guys are hands-on. If they don't see it, if they can't touch it, it's not there. Now, this goes back into how women worry. A lot of the times, whether we can see it or touch it or not, it doesn't have to be there or visible or anything. We imagine something, and it can really produce a physiological change in our body, whereas a man will look and say, what are you worried about that for? That hasn't even happened yet. You know, we're not even, you know, they're not even going to react until it actually happens,
right.
You know. And so we'll look at the man, because when I look at 16 and pregnant on MTV, and I'll look at how the boy and the girl is coming together, and the boy and the girl seem to be pretty even, and the girl, as soon as she gets pregnant, you know, it's just innate. She starts thinking about all of these things that are going to happen and might not happen, and this, you know, what about this, what about that, and the guy's thinking, I want to go skateboard before the baby comes, you know. I want to go and hang out with my friends or what have you. So how do you deal with women in coaching them about their imaginations about things that haven't happened yet that they're worrying about?
Exactly. That's a great question, Candy. One of the things that I think about in anybody's imagination is their personality traits. Some people tend to imagine good things predominantly, and other people, unfortunately, tend to imagine not so good things or negative things, and basically develop this fear of the unknown, and it creates a lot of anxiety. I think that women might be have more of a tendency to do this, creating anxiety, because women tend to live on the sensitivity, intuitive side of life, where men tend to be more a matter of fact, utility and mechanistic. And that doesn't so much lend itself to projecting, let's say, undesirable outcomes in the future. They're more a matter of analyzing what mechanically will happen, and maybe it's predictable, versus a woman's sensitivity who might have some insecurity about the unknown from an emotional point of view. As a result, women can develop a lot of anxiety. Now, the intuition also works for them, too. I mean, I think it's pretty well established that women have great intuition about possible outcomes, and very frequently they're right. But I think that when they're in front of an event, it hasn't happened yet, that some women, and particularly mothers who have, let's say, little reason, young single mothers who have little reason to be optimistic, then they might start to be doing their intuition and their forecasting, predicting that the future is just going to unfold in undesirable ways. And then it becomes destructive. They start to inhibit themselves in terms of not knowing their own abilities and giving themselves credit for the strengths that they do have. So if they learn to apply those into the future and say, I am a strong character, I am a good learner, I'm dependable, I stick to my commitments, I'm a good communicator. If people will continue to remind themselves of that, they can project into the future, and I think that will right away discourage a lot of the anxiety that people can, that single mothers can have.
Now, speaking of being destructive, what are some of the undesirable health effects of too much stress?
Oh, boy. Well, for all of us, it's been reported in the medical journals now that roughly 80 to 90% of the reasons that we all go to see the doctor are stress-related symptoms. It's unbelievable. I mean, the other things being like a physical injury to a body part or something like that, but when people start going in and complaining about muscle pain, headaches, asthma, allergy, rashes, insomnia, ulcers and digestive disorders and diabetes, as it turns out, those are just the symptoms, the physical symptoms of a deeper disorder, and mostly those disorders are about excessive stress, chronic stress, psychological stress that causes the body chemistry to get screwed up. The hormonal creates a hormonal imbalance in our bloodstream, and when our organs and tissues become saturated with the excessive amounts of cortisol and adrenaline, which get secreted when people are experiencing stress, it's just like an internal pollution. And people start to experience these disorders, and my gosh, it leads all the way to heart disease. And we've known that for years, but so it's very important for people to reduce their stress, because every day that somebody is feeling stress, chronic stress, that is a continuing long-term stress, the body is continuing to lose its health from the chemical imbalance in the bloodstream. I mean, a lot of people.
And you can feel it going on. You know, the exercise that you had me do in the beginning of the show to reduce the stress, even though I did have an interruption while you were talking, that was the plumber coming up.
Yes.
And I apologize to the listening audience that he forgot. I told him that I had something going on, and so I was relaxed, and then he came up, and then I got tense again. One thing that I noticed in just that short period of time of being relaxed is that when you when you go with the flow of relaxation and get familiar with what that feels, you're more in tune to when your body is tensing up, and it makes you more aware each and every time you practice that, because I was very relaxed, and then when he came up and called my name, it, you know, and needed me, I felt everything kind of, you know, just go back into tense mode again. And then I immediately remembered what you said and took my deep breaths and came back into the show. And that's just a small example of how in tune we can become with our bodies, because honestly, we don't feel that. Because I remember when I first decided I wanted to go back to college, and I was only about 32 at the time, and I remember, you know, when you're in your early 30s, you still feel like you're in your 20s. It's really a terrible trick, but you still feel like you're 25, you know. And I remember taking on this jogging class. I was taking 15-hour course load, so I was in class all throughout the week. And I remember running and running and running, and I was running with college students. They were new. I was an adult student. So I'm in my 30s. I'm running with them. They're 18, 19, 20. And I remember getting further and further behind, and that was the most stressful time in my life. And I didn't even recognize that I wasn't really finishing my run. It just one day, one bad day turned into, like, weeks of me getting further and further behind in my run. And then it wasn't until one day I was going to a class and I couldn't get up the steps, and I was like, oh, my God, what is really going on with my body? It still never dawned on me. I'm still completely disconnected. The only thing I'm thinking about is the next exam, getting that done and picking the kids up from my mom's house, getting them home, getting them in the bed, and making sure that they don't feel any of this. So I'm going to absorb it all so that they don't really miss a beat. So I'm still absorbing, 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 and the next thing I know, one night I'm up all night. I can't even lay all the way down. It still doesn't register that I'm not breathing properly.
Yes.
And then I go to the hospital. They say, you're having an asthma attack, and you need to go to the we're going to admit you for 2 days. So I was in the hospital for 2 days, had asthma. And then I went to the allergy doctor, and they said I was allergic to this multitude of things, never been allergic to anything in my life. And so I still battle with it, you know, every now and then. It's not completely gone. But just realizing that living in that stressful period of time for so long, just a couple of years really, can take that type of a toll on your health, I think should be a wake-up call for lots of single moms. You know, or people, period. It's really people, period. But because my listening audience is mostly single moms, because we weren't always single. We were married, too. And I was married for, you know, 11 years, and I just remember even the stress that comes with that. You know, so I think life, period, can be stressful depending on how we look at it.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I was thinking about previous to our program today was the big picture about how to deal with these long-term problems that single moms can be dealing with. And I came up with this idea about a basic plan, and it's a parallel exactly to what you just mentioned, Candy, and this is, you know, before I figured out a flow here, that before you can truly relax, first you must identify and prioritize your personal goals and values. What do you really need? So in order for you to deal with your physical discomfort that you had to identify what was going on there. And the doctors did that for you. They told you you had asthma.
Mm-hmm.
And then you need to identify the stress source and analyze each source individually, so that you can understand what the sources of the stress are, and then implement solutions to or something to detach you from each stress so that the effect goes away. Either maybe the stressor might still be there, but if you can detach mentally from it, it won't have these stressing effects on your mind and body, or you might resolve it completely by no longer having a relationship with a stressful ex or saying, or improving it or making some changes. And then finally, once you've acknowledged it and found the solutions to the stress, then it's a matter of creating a time management plan so that you can plan on relaxing and satisfying your needs and goals, and that's basically the therapy. So you went kind of through a parallel thing with identifying the asthma and what you needed to do to change your behavior in order to not experience the negative effects anymore.
Right.
So the sources of stresses, I mean, with that can induce this kind of discomfort with single moms, or as we know, it's all over the place, having to deal with maybe this might have been the death of a husband or a divorce or separation or an unsupportive ex or just a crummy relationships with the ex, or maybe a mom was single by choice and knew that she was going to be facing all these unique challenges, or parenting challenges, and then work and cash flow and health issues. All of these individually can be very stressful for single moms. I think single moms tend to carry the heaviest stress load of any class of American or worldwide citizens. It's extremely tough.
Yeah, it is. And speaking of stress and her carrying that, how can a mother's stress adversely affect her children?
Ooh, yes. Well, that's an incredible area, and certainly probably the first and foremost concern for a mother. I think that what happens with if a mother doesn't effectively handle her stress, it's going to have effects on her body and her personality, and the children are definitely going to know it. I think you've probably seen this before. They're going to feel it. They're going to pick up the energy. They're going to hear it in the communications. And I think first and foremost, what it's going to do is create fear and insecurity within them.
Right.
And that in turn is going to cause them to have a lot of anxiety about their family security, security around dependability on mother or the relationship to the father, can cause them to have a lot of mental discomfort, and that in turn affects their behavior. I mean, there was a California study that showed that the effect of single parenting without a father greatly drives up the chances of kids dropping out of school, getting into substance abuse, being unproductive, not being able to find work, and being non-communicative and withdrawn. So this isn't necessarily the blame of a single mother, but a single mom who is aware of her stresses and can deal with them can in turn pass on and be with the children in a secure, positive, nurturing environment. And in spite of the absence of a father, why they can say, I feel like I have a whole life and I feel safe. And I feel safe that my mom's safe. They can renew their security and be wholesome people that way.
Right. And how do you actually guide? What are some of the things that you do? I'm going to give you a moment to talk about that, and then I'm going to take a call. But I want you to just, we'll get deeper into it, but just give me a little example of how you coach single mothers into less stress and more relaxation.
I think that the most important thing that a single mother needs to do is live her inner truth. And this is a tough thing because some people that I've spoken with would rather not go there. And other people who are solution-oriented and want to transform their lives in a more positive direction will understand the importance of them doing a lot of introspecting and finding out what their inner truth is. That can be a very generalized concept or feeling about oneself, but the idea behind establishing one's inner truth is that then how do we use that? And it could be that my inner truth is, I'm a negative thinking person. If somebody is actually going to acknowledge that, then that's the first step toward finding a resolution to that, what could be a problem. You know, the constant flow of negative talk, self-talk, I'm no good, I'm guilty, I made a mistake, I don't deserve this or that. if a person really goes into their inner truth, they'll find out that they're a fine person. They're a good person. They'll find all their values. So if they decide to live their inner truth, they will see their values above their weaknesses. And if they focus on their values, then they become solution-oriented. If you remain focused on your negative attributes or mistakes, living your old story, then the growth doesn't go. So the first question, not that generalized question that I encourage a single mother to do, is think about and write down, what's your inner truth? And then make the notations of, where do you not live your inner truth on a routine basis, like the old, your life story? Where are you not doing it? Did this possibly contribute to the relationship with the father falling apart? You're not living your inner truth. How long do you want to continue to make that mistake before you decide, you know what, I gotta come to myself here and find out what my values and goals are, and start living those. And don't let any person or anything detract you away from those. When we start to live our inner truth and we state it to our friends and our family and ourselves, they understand what we really need and what we really want, then we're in a much better position to receive.
Mm-hmm.
So I would spend time, a lot of time talking to people about their inner truth as a starting point. I say, be ready to find your inner truth, because that's going to determine your direction of growth.
Yes, and it does. Now, when you've been encouraged as a child to live your inner truth, that in and of itself tends to bring a certain amount of relaxation or peace that a lot of people don't understand.
Yes.
But if you have not been allowed to live that, because I think out of all of the stress and stuff that I've gone through, I think being allowed to just be me and have parents who just were supportive throughout childhood, it gives me that place I can go to. Even I deal with doubts and I deal with all kinds of other things just like everybody else, but I have a little space that I can go to that's sacred, that was created for me growing up. Now, if I don't have that place to go to, where do I go to within myself? How do I get to that place to block out all the static? You know, there are all these fancy meditation techniques and things like that, and now people charge an arm and a leg for people to go and sit in a room and learn how to do it, or to do whatever it is that you need to do to get to this inner truth. Mm-hmm. What's something simple and free that you can offer our listeners where they can get to this clean space in their subconscious that will give them some rest, some peace, a place to go and just chill out?
Yes. Where is our secret little private retreat?
Mm-hmm.
I've met people, I think, that don't have that spot, and I regret that for them, because I think all of us need to have a spot in our mind where we can go to. Maybe it's actually in our mind, in our spirit, where we go to for restabilizing, rejuvenation, self-knowledge. If I had to suggest that somebody do that, first off, I think it has to be in the absence of a lot of external stimulation. I encourage people to go on what I call personal retreats.
Mm-hmm.
And they can be up to maybe half an hour long or an hour long, but I actually suggest it for a weekend, where you make a plan, figure out what you want to do, and go by yourself with the intent of going within. And spend the time working within. Take your notepads, your journals, write down, take your books and your motivation to learn more about self. And do it in a time where you can be uninterrupted and minimal external stimulation. I have a couple of hot spring resorts that I like to go to for personal retreats. And I go for a weekend. And the one of my favorite ones has three pools and hot springs around it that you can sit in 24 hours around the clock. The policy is on the pool deck and in the spas, no talking.
Mm-hmm.
So here could be 20, 50, 75 people. I'm with a group by myself, but nobody's talking. Everybody is in a kind of a conscious meditative state. And I would take my notes and my journals and maybe my laptop with me, and when I feel like I'd sit at a picnic table and journal and write and have all these what I call aha moments where a light goes on. Oh, yes! This is what I need. This is what I want. This is how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the kind of things that start to come up to the surface only when you're in the absence of other normal stimulation, like cell phones ringing and people talking at you and having to cook and all that kind of stuff that doesn't allow us to go deep within ourselves. We don't have the time to do it. So people can choose any kind of environment that works for them, that works mm-hmm. for me, like that, and find a place where they can go within and start writing things down, because thinking things is good. It's a good start, but that's all there is to start. The learning process actually proceeds much better if you write things down and make notes, because our learning improves by 80% as soon as we write something versus just think it. And then in the long run, if you have a confidant or somebody that you share with who helps you to grow, speak.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. your inner truth and your findings to these people and share it with somebody just so you can hear yourself say it. And boy, I'll tell you, that coming from that inner spot then, it makes a huge difference. It really cuts through all the distraction and exposes our core needs and values, what we need to have. And then you can choose the direction and the tools and the techniques to achieve the goals we want.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's
did that
good.
Answer your question?
It did. I'm still in the hot springs place.
Yes, oh, it's wonderful. You know, it doesn't even have to be a hot spring. You can go for a walk.
I know, but it just sounded so good. I'm going to take a caller. I think we have a caller on the line. Hold
oh, excellent. That would be good.
Hello.
Hello there. This is Mark.
Hi, Mark.
Who's this?
This is Valerie Hobson calling from Greensboro, North Carolina.
Hello, Valerie.
I am a single mom, and I'm an older single mom. I'm 52. And you have done wonderful affirmations for me, in as much as my greatest salvation has been to look for inner peace within myself. And my children, I have two children in college and one older adult child, and they all go through their own stuff, but because I have found my peace within me, this journey has been very, very calm and peaceful for me.
Oh, I'm very happy for you, Valerie. That's excellent.
Yes. I have found, I sent Candy an email picture of my own Jamaican spot, and it's right outside my door. I have my little palm trees out there. I have tomatoes out there, and I have herbs and a big umbrella and a soft chair, and that's my Jamaican trip.
Mm-hmm.
And I go out there and I read and I study, I meditate for maybe about an hour a day. So I have my own little retreat. I have two students in college, so I can't go to no hot springs.
Yes.
Yeah, but
you have created what you need.
Yes, I have.
I congratulate you on that. That's
yeah, right. I have.
Now, Mark, this is the difference in the personalities. Creating all of that, what she's saying that she created, would stress me out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that when you speak of dealing with what people do in order to get in touch with their inner peace and to increase their stress, you know, what do you do when you encounter different personalities? Because mine is writing. I can be anywhere, really. I don't have to have any flowers. I don't have to have a garden. I don't have to have any of that. But I like to write. So when you have someone like her, Valerie's extremely creative, and she's always creating something with her hands. I'm more mental. So what advice do you have for certain people who are hands-on, certain people who are mental, certain people who are visual? You have certain
yes.
people who have to have things to listen to,
uh-huh.
you know. What advice do you have for to accommodate the different personalities?
Well, the goal here, I think, that we're all trying to achieve here is greater relaxation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we all have different ways of getting at that. And there are several different ways of defining what relaxation is. Like, relaxation is a feeling of refreshing tranquility that arises in the absence of fear or stress or responsibility. Ultimately, however, relaxation is a state of what you're thinking and feeling more than what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So people, Valerie can have her Jamaican paradise at home. I can have my hot tub or spa somewhere else. Somebody else will be thinking and feeling what they of their relaxation, sitting at a picnic table, maybe watching the kids play. You will get it journaling and writing. So it's not so much what you're doing, but what actually is happening in the mind. And every person mm-hmm. who's motivated to de-stress and find more relaxation will actually spend more time in those areas where they are thinking and feeling good. And that can be anywhere for anybody to relax. So it's not so much physically with what you're doing. It's what's a matter of what's happening within your mind. If you're relaxed and have a feeling of tranquility and don't feel the stress and responsibility, then it's very healthy for your mind and it's very healthy for the body. And that can happen anywhere.
So where are some
people might want to do it, some people might drive. Driving might
right.
be
true. That's
very relaxing.
True.
So it's up to each individual to experiment and explore what works.
What are some mental solutions that I can use to reduce the stress load and increase my stress steadiness?
Right. Well, first thing that I ask is get back to what I suggest is about living the inner truth. We need to
mm-hmm.
discover what our inner truth is, and that is mostly around knowing our values, which will determine what our goals are for life. Then that mm-hmm. sets us up with a mindset about what we want to do. Then we need to acknowledge that we each have our inner power to achieve these things. It's not something that comes from outside. Somebody doesn't give us the power to achieve happiness. That exists within us. We just have to exercise it. And that's why I love the term empowerment. In my
mm-hmm.
coaching, when I work with people, what I like to do is empower them. Frequently,
mm-hmm.
my coaching partners have disempowered themselves through
mm-hmm.
Negative self-talk and feelings of guilt and shame and low self-esteem and all that. One of the essential things we have to do is identify the direction and then identify that you have your own power to achieve these goals and that you are not vulnerable. Just because what's going on out in the world affects you negatively, you're not vulnerable. You have the inner power to do it. Now you have good personal resilience and strength, and you can move into all kinds of areas that can help you. And I'm a particular fan of positive thinking. I believe in manifestation, and a lot of other people do. That is that basically you create what you believe.
Right.
So if
right.
you believe you're living your inner truth and you believe that you have the power to manifest your goals, then you will, in fact, manifest it. It will happen.
Mm-hmm.
If you believe you're not empowered, that's what you get. you'll get the results of unempowerment. So I have a very strong belief in positive thinking, and along with that, something that I use every day and I recommend everybody is to develop some very good affirmations. Affirmations like mantras, they work very well. And I've seen tremendous results with my coaching clients on developing their own personal affirmations that are very specific to them. And all they have to do is that when they feel themselves stepping off their path, the path is their inner truth. When they feel themselves emotionally or intellectually stepping off that path, they simply have to state the affirmation that they developed and restate it to themselves, and what ends up happening is that that directs the thought pattern back onto the path.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a way of catching oneself and saying, no, this is not my inner truth. My inner truth is I'm a good worker. So then they stop beating up on themselves about making a mistake or thinking they're a coming worker and get back on the path of performing as a good worker.
Mm-hmm.
So affirmations work just great in terms of helping get back on the path. And then also reframing. It's related to positive thinking, but it's a matter of looking for the silver lining in something. You can have a devastating accident, but there might be a learning experience in it too.
Right, that's right.
Or if somebody treats you poorly, there might be a learning experience in that. So by reframing our experience of it, we can actually find out that there's a growth opportunity there.
I find that stress increases as well when we expect, through our expectations. I know you and I haven't talked about this, but this is just a question that just came to me. What can women do about their expectations? Because I have noticed that the higher the stakes are in a situation, the higher expectations rise in human nature. Okay,
yeah.
We're just dating, so the expectations are kind of low. You ask somebody to marry you, the expectations rise. You have children, the expectations go through the roof. And then with these expectations come a higher level of stress that comes with each level. What can we do about reminding ourselves that we cannot expect other people to meet our expectations?
That's excellent. To me, expectations breaks up into two categories, the expectations we have for ourselves and the expectations that we have for other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we set ourselves up for disappointment when we have expectations, because it's like we are already emotionally attached to an uncertain outcome.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what I suggest to people is that they not use the word expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, substitute the word opportunities.
Okay.
That then, when somebody says, well, what are the opportunities here?
Mm-hmm.
If somebody is coming from their inner truth, then they're going to look at the whole scope of opportunities in front of them with, let's say it's a single mom who has a date with a man in the evening and has expectations in the long run of, boy, I want to end up with a father back for my family. Well, the whole opportunities, if we look at it as opportunities, then the date could be a one-time only. It could be a nice dating relationship that goes on short-term. It could be long-term. It could be evolved into a friendship. If a person is willing to accept all these opportunities as possible outcomes, then
mm-hmm.
we're not setting ourselves up for disappointment.
Right.
Expectation, right. On the other hand, is attached to some outcome. And as a result, if we don't get that outcome, or if we're afraid that we're not going to get that outcome, we set ourselves up for disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really like that alternative. From expectation to opportunity. I really like that.
Good.
And I know for me, I'm a highly emotional person, so I've had to really go into myself and find my core, because I find that the more stress I am under, the higher my emotional level, and the higher my emotional level, the more disconnected I am from my core.
Yes.
So I have found in making a decision, if I'm feeling any emotions at all, I don't make a decision.
Very good.
So I stay, I am learning, but this has really been a journey for me.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I am learning that if that anxiety is there, that I am to sit still and deal with whatever insecurity is causing that emotion or whatever fear that I'm dealing with before I make a move. And so for when I get there, I'm going to remember what you said, that it is now an opportunity and
yeah.
not anxiety. I like that.
And if you're, that was Valerie speaking?
That's right.
Yeah. Valerie, this is an excellent example. I'm glad you bring this up because if we can catch ourselves in the moment, if possible, and that gets better with practice, and say, well, what are the opportunities here? When we're starting to feel emotionally charged about something, then I think right away we move into a frame of mind that's a little bit more objective. The ego is not invested in the outcome anymore.
Mm.
We're just going to take a look at the field out there and say, well, what direction could this thing go? I'm not going to be attached to any of them right now. And golly, suddenly the frame of mind feels good. Become more relaxed. We're not stressed out about expectations that go unmet. We suddenly realize, hey, you know, all of these are possibilities, and I can accept that.
Mm-hmm.
So I know what I would prefer, but let's understand that, you know, life is a gamble, and we're going to put our positive energy out to manifest the best ones we can, but I realize these are all possibilities, and I can't deny any of them.
Right.
Then suddenly we become open to life.
Mm. Wow.
That was a perfect. You know how sometimes you can talk? I mean, out of everything that we've talked about, everything was just so good and juicy. But that one phrase, that one suggestion that you had going from expectation to opportunity.
I love it.
That's it right there. You can put that in a box. You can sell that, you know, and just that's it.
And that sounds so simple, Mark.
Sounds
so simple.
Well, you know, I think some of the things are the challenges in the details and actually living them. But I think that the phrase, this relates to like having an affirmation or a mantra that I mentioned earlier, is that the question could be, when you're starting to drift away, it's just simple, what are the opportunities here? And just pause and think on that for a little bit. When presented with a confrontation or an emotionally challenging situation, just pause and say, what are the opportunities here?
Right.
And boy, you go over that and suddenly you realize, okay, well, I can deal with any of them. I'm a strong enough person. I can deal with
exactly.
it all.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Mark, when I talked to you the other few times, I told you that this hour was going to go by quick.
Oh, it sure did.
And if we only have 6 minutes left. And I want to have you back because we haven't begun to scratch the surface. And we'll talk after the show to find out if you want to do something once a month or every other week or something like that. I think once a month is good, but we'll decide that. But I want you to just kind of let the listeners know exactly what you do and if there's any information such as your contact number and your email or your website address. Can you please direct the listeners to those sources?
Mm-hmm. Well, I do believe that my email address and web contact information was on your broad radio station.
Did.
But again, my website is Relax Your Life Now.
Hmm.
Anybody in favor of that?
I am. You got my vote on that one.
Yes. RelaxYourLifeNow.com is my website. It's a very large resource there, you can find yourself in it, I'm sure, and many of the frequently asked questions that I listed in there that people deal with. I also have a video up on Wish You Were Here, which is something I put together about relaxing and demonstrating mm-hmm. how people relax. And I'm also a very strong proponent of unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
And I have written a book on that that's being edited right now. So there's a video in there about me being interviewed by another love guru on what unconditional love is and how it is that we can start living it. So I just want to say to the single mothers out there that it's my intention to stimulate all of you to enjoy greater personal effectiveness sooner, not later, by helping you to actively live your answers to these three questions. And they kind of relate to, like, what are the opportunities here? These are my three really, I think they're valuable questions. How do I live my inner truth?
How do I live what now?
How do I live my inner truth?
Okay.
Would be the first question. I'll say it one more time. How do I live my inner truth? The next question would be, what's the best thing to do from here? And I love that, and we should come back and talk about that and engage people on answering that question because it's wonderful. And along with the third one, if I was not afraid, I would dot, dot, dot. If I was not afraid, I would and answer that question. So these are the kind of starting points that I work with in my stress relief and relaxation coaching clients to help them identify their values and their goals so they can get back on their paths and get away from the victimization and the vulnerability that makes them feel so much stress. Now, get rid of the conflict between what the person's values is and what the realities are they're experiencing. I enjoy that very much, and the testimonials at my website will let you know that I seem to be fairly successful at that. For anybody who's interested in coaching, I just like to let them know there's a little saying that I have. It says, you know your time for coaching has come when your costs for maintaining the status quo are greater than your cost for coaching with me.
Wow.
So all we have to do is think about, what is it costing me to stay the same?
Right.
And go, you know, do I want to do that the rest of my life?
Mm-hmm.
Hell no.
Right.
So then let's think about the cost for coaching and the implications for transforming yourself into a new life with much more fulfillment and satisfaction and happiness, and suddenly the cost for coaching becomes virtually insignificant.
Okay, we only have 2 minutes left.
Yes.
I want you to just quickly say those questions one more time and also talk about, just say those questions one more time.
Yes. First question was, how do I live my inner truth?
Mm-hmm.
Second question was, what's the best thing to do from here? And the third one, if I was not afraid, I would dot, dot, dot.
Okay. That's it? this was the quickest 60 minutes I've ever participated
in.
So,
oh, boy.
I want to end the call by thanking Valerie for calling in. And we'll definitely talk after the call, and we're going to go over some of the things Mark said, okay?
Okay.
Okay. And then, Mark, I will definitely stay in touch with you because I feel like I've kind of told you everything just about anyway. So.
Well, Valerie, I appreciate hearing from you. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for the information, Mark.
You're
I look
welcome,
forward
dear.
To the next connection.
Yeah, I hope we're going to talk again.
Yes.
Yes, and thanks for coming on, both of you. Enjoyed your energy. And until next time, reconstruct the world by reconstructing your mind. I know you can do it.